Hi, Vic.
Hello, hello. I listen to WCCO because they are not quite so intense on the political situation, in my opinion. But I am instigated kind of dramatically by what's going on with the political scene, and I don't want to be off topic or...
Oh, there is no topic. Go ahead, Vic.
Yeah, well, but I'm very upset. I think that we're headed for a bloody revolution because I think everybody but me and the whole world just doesn't understand what's going on. And the reason I think I understand what's going on is because I'm 82 years old. And I have many different attitudes that they're so foreign to the common perceptions that...
You know, I have a feeling. You tell me if I'm right or wrong. I have a feeling I've interviewed you.
Well, I used to call up radio stations, but for the last 2 years, I'm always off topic.
But wait a minute.
They haven't got time to hear what I have to say. I haven't succeeded in getting them on the air for about a year at least.
Well, I'm your guy. I used to have guys call all the time at KSTP who said, I've been banned from all the other shows. Do you mind if... I'm on yours. It'll take all the time you want. The reason I'm pretty sure I... What's your last name?
Well, I didn't give you my last name before. And I, since my views are dramatically opposed to everything,
but did you used to compose music?
Well, I still do.
I did interview you.
You want me to sing you a song?
Sure.
Well, what kind of a song would you like?
Well... Here's what I recall. I went over to your apartment. I interviewed you in your apartment, and you were...
I think you did.
I never recognized voices. It's been 15 years since I talked to you, but I swear to God, all of a sudden you started talking. I said, there's that... The line that did it for me was when you said, nobody else understands it but you.
Right.
That was the way you talked about your music. That's what triggered it. When you talked about your music, you were, what was your plan? It was a grand plan. You were going to, first of all, you were going to make millions, but what were you doing? When I interviewed you, you were doing something you were, gosh, I wish I could remember it.
Well, I've done it. I'm just about ready to explode on the scene. See?
Yeah, you were going to take the world, the music world by storm.
Right.
With what again? What were you doing? You were...
Well, I've got some world-class music in the first place.
Yeah, but you were taking old songs after the copyright and changing lyrics? What? Something weird like that.
Well, do you ever hear of Swan Lake?
Sure.
They got the second act, the most powerful piece of music in the whole world. And I've had a lyric for that for...
That's what you
years.
Did. You wrote lyrics for famous songs that didn't have lyrics.
Right, right. Swan Lake, Colonel Bogey.
Colonel Bogey.
Sure.
What was that one? Can you sing that one?
Sure.
That's the one I remember you singing when I interviewed you.
Okay. Colonel, I hear the distant drums, boom booms, tat-tats and rum-tum-tums. Somewhere go heroes marching. And in the music, their being becomes trumping. Oh, hear the tot, tot, tot. Trombones, doo-wah, doo-wah, wah, wah. Woodwinds, how high they're singing. Above the tubas, pa-rum-pa, pa-pa.
Now, is it true that... That song, which we all know, of course, is the theme from Hogan's Heroes, is it true that that didn't have lyrics?
I don't think it has had lyrics, although that's possible. The point is that no matter whether it did or not,
you wrote
my
better
lyrics
ones.
Are world-class, they're great, but nobody can sing them. I can't sing them very well because they're, well, first of all, they're not going to be accepted very well.
What I remember, too, is you had this real tiny apartment. It almost was just enough room for you to have your computer and you had a little keyboard or something.
Well,
maybe?
You can imagine now. I've got an organ, a computer. I've got four computers. I've got a regular keyboard. I've got two giant screens to watch the internet on, and I'm on iTunes. And it's very welcome to have somebody who halfway understands what I'm trying
well,
to do.
Well, you were going to, I believe you told me, you were going to make several million dollars off this.
Well, yeah. I, you know how much I've made in the last 2 years? I have made, I think, $9 on iTunes.
That didn't work out. But
well, I haven't really promoted it, and I haven't got my stuff up there yet.
Well, that's getting late in the day.
Well, I'm going as fast as I can. There's a lot to do. For instance, that Colonel Bogey, do you mind if I mention the fact that that's available on iTunes?
No, have at it. Maybe we'll get
I've
10 or 11 songs sold here.
You go to iTunes. Well, I'll tell you what. If you want to hear me sing, you go to YouTube, Artie Toot.
Artie Toot?
ArtieTOOT. And on YouTube, Artie Toot, you'll hear some of my music. It won't cost you anything, and you can hear me sing. I have a pseudonym, Bob Legato.
Oh.
That sounds something like obligato,
uh-huh.
And something like legato.
Yeah, I also,
Bob Legato.
I wish I could remember more of this interview. I also recall there was one certain song you were working on that you thought was pretty much going to take over the world. I mean, when you know what? You were writing Halloween songs.
Well, yeah, well, that's my, you know, that's what I'm really depending on. Those are great. For instance, I have a new format. The format is it's contrapuntal and biphonic. In other words, one child will learn a song, and if another child knows the counterpart to that, another song, they can sing it together and as a duet. It's not like a harmony part. This is easier because they learn separate songs, which fit together.
Yeah, and I remember some of the. I almost can remember some of the lyrics from. They were sort of spooky Halloween lyrics.
Well, some of the melodies.
But for children.
The melodies are
stolen.
Well, I have one particular version of. I've got six songs. Into three duets, uh-huh. These combinations.
But I don't believe you ever wrote the music.
No, I've got the music, too.
But
I'll sing you the one with the simple lyrics.
But did you write the music?
Well, yes. I've got valid copyrights for the last 20 years. Paper copyrights.
Were you not, though, taking songs right after the copyrights were up and just nabbing the music and then kind of making them yours?
No. I wrote the music. I've got formal copyrights on uh-huh. all the Halloween songs.
I think you were quite frustrated when I was there that Halloween song thing didn't take off and end up in all the schools all over the world.
Right. Well, let me sing you this simple lyric song.
I see.
Babble, dabble, 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 babble, dabble. That's a sloppily song, but that... It just babble dabble. Then another kid.
That's called babble dabble.
Babble dabble is the mm-hmm. one half of the song.
I don't know why that one didn't take off.
No. That it, melodically, it's great, jazzy. So then the other kid.
Well, it's jazzy
singing,
as hell.
The other kid starts singing, double bubble 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 double. Now I'm not singing it correctly, but that anyway, you got two songs that fit together.
What makes the two kids want to do that, though? Their parents, or what? I mean, what gets them?
If you were to learn one of those songs, and somebody else would learn the other, it would be a powerful possibility that you could put it on iTunes and make a lot of money with it.
Millions.
Well, yeah, I've got tutorials on there. I don't have performance songs. I have synthesized versions.
You were devoting an extraordinary. Number of hours to this. You were almost, it was all consuming, as I recall.
Well, it's been that way ever since. But I've got quite a bit on iTunes now. I've got some beats that you can use. Like you want to go to karaoke, you go to karaoke and you punch in one of my beats on iTunes, and then this beat starts. Then you go up to the microphone and put the phone up by your ear, and you've got this boom, put it up.
Put the phone up by your ear?
Well, yeah, and then it goes in the microphone. See? In other words, you've got your one-man band.
I see. Huh.
That isn't commonplace now. They've got a lot of people doing beats, but mine are not what you need with a beat, you need something to drive the song. The song is the thing, and the singer. You don't need a drummer out there.
So all these years, you've just been continually working on this, huh?
Well, sure, and I've got it all just about ready to go.
Boy, and what a project. I believe you'd been working on it for about 15 years when I interviewed you. It's been about 30 years you've been on thing now.
I came
now
to
you're
this
82.
Town. I came to this town in 1979 because I wanted to get rich here. I would spend the summers here and do the Halloween thing, and then I would...
Halloween thing meaning bobble-dobble.
Anyway, I've got the Halloween songs. I've also got a waltz, which is great. The waltz wouldn't think it would be
there
popular.
Was a really sad, a beautiful, sad love song you sang. Do you remember what it was?
Sure. Well, I remember all of it. Well, if you want the most beautiful song, I'm going to tell you what you... If you want the most beautiful song...
Ever written.
Probably. It's... you got to get Chet Atkins playing Intermezzo.
That's the one!
Okay. Well, that's Beautiful by Chet Atkins.
I thought you wrote it.
No. The melody, I think, or I thought at the time, was in public domain. I'm not sure now.
Okay. So it was a deal where you took the melody and then you wrote the lyrics.
I wrote a lyric to that particular...
Yeah. Can you sing that?
What you could do is go to YouTube.
Yeah, but the way to get us to go to YouTube is to first fall in love with your version of it as you sing it, and then we go, I got to get a hold of that. So could you sing some of it?
It's very difficult to sing, for it's almost got 2 octaves of range.
Well, what the hell did you write that for?
That's the whole. That's the reason why it wasn't written in lyrics before.
But what? Well, at least because I want to hear the words. The words are beautiful that you wrote.
Well, what you do? Go to.
Oh, for God's sake!
I've got pictures of the lyrics.
Pictures of the lyrics.
Right. In other words, I have pictures with the lyrics overlaying the pictures on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then what you do? You look at the
how many picture. YouTube videos do you have?
There are about 9 or 10.
Huh?
In other words, I've got things besides that, but that's... I'm working on a whole bunch of things. Anyway, if you go to YouTube...
Yeah.
And you look at this lyric for Intermezzo, it's called In Your Dreams, I guess is the title.
Which is really what some people might say about this music career of yours. I mean, it really hasn't... What do you think stopped it? From taking over the world.
I know what stopped it. I could write hip-hop, but that is
Wait
not
a minute. You
what
could?
I'm trying to do. I have world-class material, and
Wait
it's
a minute.
Very difficult to sing these great melodic songs.
Could you really write a hip-hop song?
I wouldn't do it. Anyway, lyric write. If you read some of the lyrics I've got, you'll have to agree that I could write any kind of song I wanted to.
Uh-huh. There's almost nothing you can't do.
Well, yes, I'm quite. I think that I'm an average intelligence, but I've just spent so many years doing this thing.
Right.
With desperation. If you spend that much time, you've got to have. Unless you're absolutely crazy, you've got to have something.
Well.
Going. Anyway, let me be specific. You go to YouTube and you look for In Your Dreams. Which is Intermezzo. And then you get Chet Atkins' record of Intermezzo, and you look at the lyric as you play the song. And if that doesn't really convince you that I've got all the good songs this year,
I'd
be surprised.
I think I recall you saying that you had the greatest songs that had ever been made.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a different one. That is Chopin Opus 10, number 3. It's called How Deep a Night.
You sang that one to me.
Well, so deep is the night in which I sleep that I but dream. I dream the dreams I keep. Or so to seem, no one's near me here to hear me call your name. Only I hear me cry. It's a very sad song.
You wrote the lyrics, and the music was written by?
Chopin.
Chopin. You and Chopin worked together on that one. Bernie Taupin and Elton John here.
What I tried to do, I tried to synthesize Shakespeare. In other words, I'm not Shakespeare, but everybody.
But you're not far removed.
So you can use his particular style.
Huh.
And that would have to be a dramatic theme, and that is a dramatic theme.
Are you right now by any chance wearing a white T-shirt?
No.
Okay. I picture you in a white T-shirt and sort of janitorial pants in this little apartment, it's sort of a low-income, high-rise deal.
Well, something like that. Yeah, I'm very poor. I'm poor. I got four computers. That keeps you in.
Yeah, you were just sort of surrounded by computers, and I don't know, I mean, the kind of a guy, I know better because I got to know you, but the kind of a guy, you know, maybe the Secret Service keeps an eye on, but what do you, and now you're into sort of political, it sounded like you started this call tonight wanting to...
Oh, yeah, well, let me, I hate to take up so much of your time.
I don't give a damn.
Well, that's great. I like to hear that. I would like to explain the reason I called you. I'm very worried that the young people... That's people under 60 or so, don't understand technology well enough. And they don't understand how these large corporations operate. I remember when strikes used to be rather violent and when the unions were strong. And there's no big company ever wanted to give the employees raises, right? They still don't. But when you kick the unions out of power, you allowed the corporations to really run amok.
You hear this, Wisconsin?
Huh?
Well, we're blasting into Wisconsin, and they got a little recall deal going on. Ties into what you're talking about.
I used to work at Dodge Main in Detroit.
I think I remember this. What were you?
Huh?
And you got into some trouble there or something? What happened? You were fired?
No, I didn't get fired.
What happened?
I quit to go in the Army in 1948.
And then what?
Then I mean, 1950-51.
And after the war, what did you do again? I'm trying to jog my memory. What did you do with your life, career-wise?
Well, I worked in factories, largely out of work. I'm poor because I...
You didn't work a lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, you work 4 months, and they lay you off for six, and you get another job, and then they lay you off after a 5 or 6 month thing.
Never married?
Never married. I've been too poor to get married.
Have you enjoyed your life?
Well, yes, because I've been expecting to be fabulously rich at any moment. I have inventions, you know.
That's right. You had a bunch of inventions.
Right. I still got them. I'm just about ready to explode one on the market. I'm going to take
over. Well, you were telling
me
that back then. What was the invention? It's all coming back to me now. You had some incredible invention that was, you were ready to spring on the market back then. What was it?
Well, I could do that at any time. I could spring that on
the market.
Well,
you're 82. Would you get the hell to it?
I've got so many things going. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I am the world's leading authority on sending music around the room.
That's what it was.
Sure.
It was a speaker system. It was a way to optimize sound in a room with delays.
It's a matrix.
It's a matrix.
It's not so much that RCA couldn't have done it or do it. It's the fact that I've spent so much time thinking about it that everything they do to do this thing, I've thought of it.
You were pretty much going to take Bose and send them packing. You know Bose?
Well, no, it's not a speaker thing. It's a new technique for modulating a circular sound stage. In other words, you've got a rhythmic track, as a drummer will say. Did you ever hear Hot Butter and Popcorn?
Well, I had some at the theater the other day.
Hot Butter, Popcorn was done by Hot Butter. And what this did, it had a background that used to swell and then decrease. And then swallow.
I think you gave You gave me an example of it.
Sure.
Not that. I mean the device.
That's the Hot Butter.
I think you had the device already perfected when I was there.
Well, yes, I've had it protected 30 years ago, but I was going to put it on software instead of discrete components. I used to use Operation Lamplifier.
You know, you are the living example that it's not the mountaintop, it's the climb. I mean, that's the joy in life is the climb, isn't it? Who the hell cares if you ever end up doing any of this stuff?
I want a result, too. Mm. I want to be on the mountaintop.
Mm.
But that has really
driven me
for a long time. And I have a whole bunch of things that I'm going to spring in the public almost immediately.
That's what you told me 15 years ago.
But I, what I needed to do was to say something about what I called about.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because I'm very distressed at what's happening about people not understanding technology. Technology depends absolutely on production.
Yes. In fact, you were a one-man advertising campaign for the Internet when I met you. And I thought, boy, how many guys this guy's age? You said, you get a hold of an iPhone or whatever it was back then. Maybe they didn't have the iPhone. This was 15 years ago. You said, you get a hold of this gizmo and the world, you can own the world. The world is at your fingertips. Everything you need to know, all the knowledge of the world is right there in the palm of your hands.
Sure. If you go to Google, there's almost nothing you can't become an expert on.
Made me think that you should just drop. Well, what are you an expert on? Let's name the things you're an expert on. You're an expert on this. What other inventions have you come up with?
Well, I have some that I was on Craigslist for a while, and I was telling all these people the whole. For instance, I've got the Cloud Smasher. I once spent a two-week vacation investigating cloud seeding with silver iodide.
That's the one I didn't see coming right there.
I came to the conclusion that silver iodide wasn't going to do it. What you have to do, you have to explode clouds.
You have to.
So
you don't want to do it, but you feel you owe it to them.
You need a weather stock.
Sure you do.
A weather stock would be a helium hydrogen filled device that would go up to 30,000 feet if necessary and just get below the cloud.
I can't believe that baby hasn't sold. I understand the nine-song deal, but you'd think you'd have sold that thing. What else have you been working on invention-wise besides the Cloud Smasher, which is my new favorite name? I got to name something the Cloud Smasher, maybe a band. That should be the name of your band.
That was a serious attempt to control the weather.
Yeah. What else have you been working on?
Oh, my God,
look at the time. I've talked to you so long, I've skipped.
I'm on the air because you would think I'm nuts. I have a,
no, I don't think that.
I have a theory
that you know of
gravity. In other words, gravity is caused by...
attitude? Just sort of our attitude?
No. It's capacitive in nature. Imagine a nucleus of an atom and an electron going around it, like a hydrogen atom.
Sure.
All right. Now imagine a dielectric in a capacitor.
Mm-hmm. Flux capacitor?
No, a regular capacitor.
All right.
A planar capacitor. That's one with two plates and a dielectric between them.
Yeah, but you end up if you
stress the dielectric. If you did a schematic of that, you would see each atom.
Well, that's clear as a bell. But, you know, the tensioner nut goes south on that thing and bye-bye. I don't know what... You got a bell housing assembly on that?
A what?
Oh, that's another one that I was working on that had that. Yours is a simplified version, obviously.
Oh, no. What you do, you stress a capacitor to the point of rupture, and what that does, that...
runs it through there's a flush valve kit there, isn't it, that it ends up going through?
What?
Again, this is mine. Let me talk to you on the other side of this break. Hang on, Victor. I'm just going to put you on hold. Going to take a quick break.
Well,
be back.
You've been great so far.
Well, I've enjoyed our time, of course. Hang on.
Get your Mishki fix anytime you want. Listen on demand at WCCORadio.com.
We're talking to Victor, one of the great American inventors and entrepreneurs, and kind of pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of fellows. 82 years old, getting ready to take the world by storm here shortly. Seems like things are getting ready to really take off for you.
Another invention. I've got this method of broomstick helicopters. The way you do that, you have a there's a thing called a pulse jet.
Yeah.
Like the old V2 or V1 rockets.
And, yeah.
What you do, you have centrifugal force pump from the hub of the rotor, pump the gas to the pulse jets on the rotor tips, and pump the air also. In other words, you have...
How's the broomstick come into play?
Well, all you need is this thing and a broomstick, you know.
That's great. It's like a wash tub base, you know, in a lot of ways. Sometimes it's the simple stuff that ends up being...
Well, you need to compress the intake of a pulse jet, and the way you do that more efficiently is by centrifugal force, putting the gasoline and the...
Hey, you haven't called me about an invention. You're now reminding me of this old guy who called several times wanting... it was a way to heat buildings he'd come up with, compressed air... You didn't do that, did you? That was another guy.
No, another
guy.
Boy,
you ought to meet that guy. That guy was on me for about a week wanting me to...
If you don't mind, I'd
well,
to say
you don't
want to
get
it about the technology.
Well, here's the thing about the world. You're worried that there's going to be a revolution, I believe.
Well, because nobody understands what's going on. What's going on
is
we gave away our means of production.
Mm-hmm.
We no longer have the means. We don't have the experts. Now, you can do the very most exotic things, but we don't know how to run an assembly line. Now, maybe some engineer can figure it out again, but we've lost all the techniques we had for a lot of this mass production.
And you used to work on a lot of assembly lines.
Huh?
You used to work on quite a few assembly lines.
Well, yeah. I've been a factory worker all my life.
Do you think that that might be coloring your take, though, the idea that because you were on assembly lines and we've lost a lot of assembly lines and sent a lot of assembly line work overseas, that you now are nostalgic for assembly line work our country needs more assembly lines?
Nope. I'm absolutely certain that the only way to get jobs for these people is to put them in factories. If you haven't got the
what
factories,
people?
You're never going to be able to stop the disappointment that is going to accrue very shortly to all this situation. People
but don't you think if the answer to the don't you think if the answer to the unemployment problem is assembly line work that
no,
a lot of people
assembly.
Are
that's what you're doing now. You're assembling all these cars. You need piece part production. That is like punch presses, drill presses, and things like that. In other words, everything that is in Walmart now. You have to build that here. And if you
can't do that,
you're not going to make it. You're not going to pull this thing out. Now, big business doesn't want to do that. They say, well, that's violates human nature. We're just not going to do it. Well, you either do it or you have no way of giving jobs to these unskilled people.
Huh?
You say send them back to school, they won't go.
Would you ever want to be a motivational speaker if someone paid you?
No, I don't want... I don't want this country to be destroyed by a bunch of Ivy League imposters.
Pencil neck.
Accreditation is worthless because it doesn't work.
But here's the thing. You just said you're the only guy in the world who understands this, and you're not even willing to go out and spread the word as a motivational speaker. We are doomed.
Well, ordinarily, I don't have any billboard to do that. I was on Craigslist, and because of my radical views, they kicked me off.
Wait a minute. How'd you get kicked off Craigslist?
Well, after I started to, you know, everybody on Craigslist, they kind of promote, saying you're not supposed to. And some of the people are very smart in doing that, and I have too much to promote, and I wasn't careful enough, and they discovered that I was trying to advertise some of my products. So they don't put up with that. I'll give them credit. They kicked me off once. I went back, and they kicked me off again. This time I don't want to go back.
I give you credit for that.
Huh?
I say I give you credit for that. So what do you think the future holds for you, Vic?
I am going to be very wealthy by controlling a modulation of the circular sound field, basically starting out from stereo, with some beats. I am going to put beats out there that are going to revolutionize the industry. Did you ever hear the song The music goes round and round.
I think you sang it to me when I interviewed you.
The music goes round and round. Oh, 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 oh. Now, that song is going to be maybe the number one song this year because I'm going to make it go round.
I think you, yeah, you mentioned to me way back when that it was going to be the number one song.
Yeah, well, that it makes a beat exciting, see? And you need a beat. Now, the young people...
You need a marketing guy.
Well, no, I'm a beat guy. Because I understand, you ever hear Sing, Sing, Sing by Benny Goodman?
How's that one go?
Well, that's basically a drum solo is the basic thing about it. It has a bunch of solos in it. But what it is, it's...
So, Vic, how come you never met a gal and got married?
I've been too poor. Women cost money.
Uh-huh. What's the most money you ever had in your... What's the most money you ever had in the bank?
I think $3,000.
Uh-huh. What? That can't get you a girl?
Well, then you got to keep her, you know.
Yeah.
You want to see, I'm the old-fashioned type, very romantic, and I've had, in the last 30 or 40 years, I haven't even been interested. I'll tell you the truth. The reason I...
Really? You, for 40 years, you haven't been interested in intimate relations?
That's right, because...
That's extraordinary. From the age of 40 on...
Oh, I've been, say 50 on.
From a 50 on.
Right.
God, I'm turning 50 this year. That's what I have to look forward to. So from the age of 50 on, pretty much ixnay on the...
Well, yeah, if you're poor, see? I expect to be rich.
Well, all sorts
waiting.
Of... There are poor people all over this world who, as I speak right now, are in the throes of passionate...
Well, yeah, but if you want, I have a lot of qualifications for the women. First of all, the women, I'm a short fellow. I'm 5'5", and the women are all bigger than that. I prefer smaller women, and they're hard to find with world-class looks and nice personalities. There are just too few of them to...
You would demand world-class looks?
Well, I don't. I'm an intellectual. I spend my time with mind games and things like that. So I don't need that kind of companionship.
Do you have friends?
Huh?
Do you have friends?
Well, yes, but I don't have time for them. I'm trying to get this music underway. If I wanted friends, I'd go down to the local bar and make some. I don't have time for... You see, if I have, say, three or four people that would come up to my apartment and converse with me several times
keep
a day,
you from getting stuff done.
Day,
yeah.
That would... If somebody talks to me for 5 minutes, it kind of upsets my thinking. I can't get back to what I was doing. See?
You're sort of like... Is there like a mad scientist? But you're pretty much fulfilled, aren't you? I've really never met anybody like you. Well, you're fulfilled. You're happy.
Well, yes, I'm happy. If you're planning on, you've been poor all your life, and you plan on being rich next week, it doesn't matter whether you are or not. The fact that you really expect it, are sure of it, all right?
You're sure of it.
Well, it may take longer than next week. I've been saying this for a number of years now, that just next week. But that's not my fault, it's your fault. If you don't think that How Deep a Night is the best song you've ever heard, if you don't think that Colonel Bogey is inspirational, it should be done in all the high schools and colleges and this and that, on the marching bands where they have trumpets and things like that, and if you don't think Swan Lake, the second act, if you don't think that's the second most greatest song you ever heard, I have other songs, and I'm going to introduce a waltz that is probably the best thing since The Merry Widow.
Well, I got to go, but before I let you go, can I put you on hold, maybe get your phone number from you?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
But you've been great. Let me say that.
I've enjoyed it, Victor. It's been a long time. I'll get your phone number here on hold. I gotta go for the evening, but don't hang up, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, you bet.